And with that thought came emotions. Emotions that were wrong. Emotions that corresponded with that thought, that lie that just ran into your head. You ever had that happen? I did yesterday evening. And I was shocked at how it hit me. And lots of times when I have those thoughts, things like that run through my head, I get pretty pouty. I get pretty whiny. And then I start feeling sorry for me. Am I the only one, or does that ever happen to anybody else? Well, praise God, about 3 o'clock in the morning, I was up, and truth ran through my mind. Truth ran through my heart. And that lying, stinking thought that was in my head just went away. And I started celebrating, and I started rejoicing, and I started just, thank you, God, I am so blessed. I cannot believe that the devil can still trick me and get me to pout. It's just amazing. When I think about how good my life is, how dare me turn into a whining little baby? Someone say, shame on you, Pastor. That's fine, go ahead. I mean, it was just, oh, but I'm so thankful to God. To just bring the truth in, and it just, I mean, a thought popped in and a switch flipped, and I'm pouty. Had me for about 6 hours. Then a thought of truth comes in, and another switch flips. And I'm in victory. I'm in, oh, God, you're so good. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Father. Let's pray. God, right now, in Jesus' name, I just ask you to help me share your truth, share your word, and I ask that the Holy Spirit be our teacher. He be our revealer. He's the one that takes the truth of your word and the life of your word into our hearts and into our understandings, and we see it, and faith comes, and grace comes, and we find ourselves living a life that's full of joy, it's full of fun, it's full of victory, and not only that, a life that draws other people to Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, please, and open up to Luke chapter 12, 2 and 3. And, you know, we got some extra stuff in here this morning, so one of two things is probably going to happen. One, we might go a little bit longer. And I'm thinking on Easter Sunday, maybe that's okay, huh? I'll take those 3 or 4, amen, praise God, hallelujah. And then the other thing that'll happen is I'll find myself skipping more of my notes. That'll happen too. So we'll have a little bit of both, and we'll have the best of both worlds, amen. I want to take some things. I said Hebrews chapter 12. Wow, I was way off. Hebrews chapter 12, sorry all. I could just quote it and you can stay in Luke because we'll be there eventually if you want. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And if it gets warm in here and you're sitting next to a window, just slide that window open and it'll help cool things off. Amen? Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. We'll just focus on verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. The title of today's message is this: He likes it. Turn and look at somebody and say, He likes it. We're going to get to that He likes it. There's something that He likes. There is something that Jesus likes that we can do, and the crazy thing about it is when we do it, we like it. Now turn and look at somebody and say, I like it. I like it. He likes it. I like it. How do you like that? Everybody likes it. Amen. Turn and say, I like it. You're not sure what you like yet, but I tell you what, when we get there, you're going to go, yeah, I like it. I like it. You're going to walk out of here going today, He likes it. I like it. Amen? Who for the joy? Who for the joy? Who for the joy? Who for the joy that was set before him? Jesus. Jesus for the joy. Think about that. There was a joy set before Jesus that gave him the ability to endure the cross. Wow. Wow. I didn't have to face anything like that. How many of us in here have ever faced anything like that? We have not. Yet there was this joy. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross? Well, you know what? That joy was set before him when he was on the other side of the cross. Now, how great is that joy? Remember that verse of scripture where it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength? Wow. Jesus had a joy that gave him the strength to go through what he went through. Man, we could do some real illustrations. Get somebody up here and spit on them. What would that do to most folks? Just that alone. What would that do to you if someone spit on you? Make you angry? Anybody maybe respond? Could a fight ensue? And we're just talking about getting spit on. Nope, Gene didn't fight. That's mild compared to what he went through, amen? Can you imagine spikes being driven through your hands? Driven through your feet? Who for the joy that was set before him? How great is this joy? Wow, and I've said this before, and I know a lot of you know what I'm going to say. Who for the joy that was set before him? You know what that joy was? You know what that joy is? Our salvation. Us. Becoming children of God. Us becoming born again. Now, when I think about that, who for the joy that was set before him, what all does that joy entail? What does all, and let me put another word out there, salvation. What all does that salvation entail? Does it just include having our sins forgiven and then going to heaven someday? There's a phrase I heard at school, and it was this: thank God for the sweet by and by, but what about the nasty here and now? How many like some help for the nasty here and now? And you know what? That's in our salvation. That's in our salvation. Let's just do something here. You guys help me. What's in our salvation? When you think about that, who for the joy that was set before him, our salvation, what is all in that salvation? Help me throw out some words. Help me. Just think about, what's that, babe? Deliverance. Healing. Freedom. Peace. Jesus. Love. Forgiveness. Eternity. Understanding. Wisdom. Strength. Answers. How about authority? Authority in Jesus' name? How about the ability to lay hands on the sick and the sick get well? Friday, I was out at French Creek Loggers, Napa now. It's not French Creek Loggers anymore. But met a guy behind the counter, and he's always talking about Jesus, and I had a big old shirt with Jesus on the front of it. And so we got to talking, and I noticed this guy walking around, and He moved kind of like this and everything and stuff. And I'm one of those that I will have conversation with complete strangers quite easily. I like doing that. It's just a way to break and get and just have fun with people. And so it didn't take long, and a conversation was going with this gentleman. Started off with humor, because I am really one of the world's funniest people. In case you didn't know that, let me tell you. No, but there was humor involved, and it's just a good thing. But then the gentleman behind the counter, he said, yeah, Paul came to us a year ago driving a van, and his van was configured so that he could be in his wheelchair and drive his van, because the doctors had told him he would never walk again. It was just fun to meet him, and then so I shook his hand. And he goes, yeah, there's a lot of power in prayer. is in our salvation? Who for the joy? Now, how many of you parents in here, when your children were growing up, watched them play sports? Watched them do different things. Did that bring any joy to you as a parent? When you watched your children, hey, Ron, do you ever have any fun watching your kids catch a fish?
Yes, I do.
Do, not just did, but do. You don't just go fishing, you go catching fish. Amen. Some people just go fishing. Some folks go catching fish. And Ron goes catching fish. I've seen the pictures. How much joy was there for you watching your children reel in that fish?
Exceedingly.
Maybe even better than you reeling in a fish?
I didn't even take
your pole. Guys, do you hear that? Did you hear that? Do you know what part of that joy is that's set before Jesus? Him watching us fish. Him watching us lay hands on the sick and the sick get well. He loves it. He gets excited about it. He just enjoys it. How many of you think he really does? You know, I watched my children play sports, and I watched a Breezy. She had a 24-inch vertical jump. And she's the only Custer basketball player on the girls' team that got permission to block shots. She knew how to time it, and she could jump. That is the benefit of growing up with three brothers. You learn some other stuff. But I remember the first time, she was like in the eighth grade, and the ball got turned over on that end of the court, and Brianna was on the outside of the girl that got the ball, and they both headed the other way, and Breezy got on the inside of her, and then she's caught up with her, she's running beside her, and this other girl doesn't even realize Breezy's there, and right when the girl puts up a nice soft layup, Breezy goes up in the air, reaches over the top of that girl's head, and swats that ball. It hits the wall and bounces back onto the court by about 15 feet. You want to know, that was more fun than me doing it. I tell you, the joy. I mean, my son Vaughn, he didn't play a lot of... There's joy in this because I have joy telling the story, but we were playing soccer, and Vaughn is just strong. He's quiet, doesn't say a lot. He's very funny. When he does have something to say, it's worth hearing. I figured out why my children invite me to play indoor soccer with them. We're playing indoor soccer. I think was it last Christmas? Two, somewhere back there, we were playing indoor soccer, and Gabe lets the ball go right in my face. I tell you, I know why they invite me. And I watch Vaughn play, and he's so strong, and then it's just like this explosion goes off because of the muscle that he has. Now, I laugh now, but I wasn't laughing that day. I'm guarding the goal, and he's about 6 foot away. Oh, and that explosion, yeah, it went off. I'm in the air, in the fetal position before I ever hit the floor, okay? But just the strength and the joy from watching your children excel and be strong. It's just a joy. Friends, how much Jesus has when we walk in that authority that he has given us. In 3 John chapter 4, it says this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Turn and look at somebody and say, he likes it. He likes it when you walk in the truth. He likes it when you walk in that authority. He likes it when you walk in, when I walk in, when we walk in the things that he did for us on that cross. He likes it. He bought and paid for our salvation. He bought and paid for our victory. He gave us authority. You know, there's this passage of Scripture, and sometimes people negate the first ones when they read the second one, but it's after Jesus sent the 70 out into the wilderness, or he sent the 70 out to cast out demons, to lay hands on the sick, and do what he's given us to do, and he sent them out. And they came back to him, and they are all excited. They are thrilled. And Jesus said, after they tell him, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And they're having a blast. They're loving it. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. How many of us have watched lightning come down from the heavens? You've seen lightning come down and hit the earth. How does it come down? With authority. With power. I mean, you got to know, Jesus likes it when we grab a hold of what he did for us and we walk in it. Now he went on to say in verse 20, you know, that's awesome, you guys, but, you know, don't let that be the primary thing that you rejoice in, but rather rejoice in this, that names are written in the Lamb's book of life, that people are saved. Now, the fact that he wants people to rejoice in the fact that our names are written in the Lamb's book of life, does that mean that those other things are neglected? The joy that he has when he sees us walking in that authority? No, it's not negated. It doesn't need to be eliminated. We can enjoy all of it. And who for the joy that was set before him? Who for the joy that was set before him? Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20 tells us this. Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me, therefore go into the world and make disciples. He loves it. Turn and look at somebody. He say he likes it. He likes it. He likes it. I wonder if he likes it when we walk in love. Amen? When we're thinking about the needs and the hurts of other people and we get involved. And we're doing it in his name. Oh, what he has done for us, you guys. What he has done for us. I'm not going to take the time to turn to all the scriptures I have here, but you can go to the Old Testament. Let's just go to this one. Go with me to Exodus chapter 11. Exodus chapter 11. I'm going to read a few here, then I'm going to go to Ephesians, and then we're going to have communion. And since I've brought this up, kind of a little thing. If you're visiting us today and you want to receive communion, the only two things I would put out there is this. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you are welcome to have communion with us. You do not have to be a member of this church. Because when Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you are a member of this church. You are a member of the body of Christ. Amen? Signing your name on a sheet of paper doesn't make you a member of this church. When Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you're born again, you're part of the family. Amen? And you happen to attend someplace else but come here, man, you can have communion with us. You can have communion with us. Don't feel like you can. Then the other thing I would say is just examine your own heart. You know, just God, how's my heart? How's my attitude? Because when we receive communion, we're remembering the price that Jesus paid. We're remembering that shed blood. We're remembering that broken body. And the scripture tells us, don't do that lightly. Don't do that without checking out your heart. You know, and if you're going to receive communion and the Holy Spirit is talking to you about something and going, hey, you got an attitude over here that I'd like to talk to you about, well, let him talk to you. And then it's really easy. You know what you get to do after that? Repent. When you repent, how quick does he forgive you? It's done and it's gone, amen? But take some time to examine your heart. And then just take some time to also think about what Jesus did. The price that he paid so we can walk in all that he has for us. Because I tell you what, how many of you want to make him happy? How many of you would like to please him? You know what? When you step out and do things in faith, it's pleasing to him. You went to Exodus, but I think about this in Luke chapter 7. There's this Roman centurion, And he sends, this is amazing if you study it out, a Roman centurion sends Jewish elders to Jesus. Now, did Jewish elders just like going to Jesus to ask for favors? No, not typically. But these Jewish elders go to Jesus to ask for a favor for who? A Roman centurion. Now, that's kind of odd, isn't it? And then when they get to Jesus, they say, Lord, this man is worthy. Now you got this Roman centurion who's got Jewish elders going to Jesus on his behalf. Wow, there's something different going on here. Something really different going on. There's something different about this Roman centurion. There's something different. And they go to Jesus, and Jesus takes off to go to his house, but this man sends more people and says, Lord, don't even bother. Don't even bother. It's interesting. The Jewish leader said, this man is worthy. That's what people's opinion of him was. But you know what he said of himself? I'm not even worthy. This man had a humility about him. He was a humble man. Lord, I'm not even worthy that you come under my roof, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. And you know what Jesus did? He stopped. He stopped going to that guy's house, and he turned around, and he let everybody know. He said this. He said, I have not, he marveled at him and said, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. What's Jesus start doing with this Roman centurion? He starts bragging about him. How many of you think Jesus liked what that Roman centurion did? He liked it. Turn and look at someone and said, he liked it. Amen. Do you know there's stuff that we do that he likes? Praise God. Turn and look at somebody and say, yep, there's stuff that I do that he likes. Come on now, a little more life. If Jesus was in here and he walked up to you and wrapped his arm around your shoulders and said, man, I like that, what would you do? You would go, yeah, thanks. That is not what you would do. Did you know that each one's praise will come from God? Did you know God's going to praise you? It's what the Bible says. Now that feels foreign, doesn't it? That feels foreign to our thinking, doesn't it? But it's in the Bible. Each one's praise will come from God. He's going to praise you. Why? Because of your faith? Come on now. You guys have gotten so quiet on me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you listening to me? Are you thinking about all that he has done for you? Or maybe you mindful of your shortcomings and your failures? Which one's forefront in your mind? You know what ought to be forefront in our mind? What he's done for us. Just like I had lots of thoughts that were full of lies put into my mind last night, they got replaced with truth. Now, it's getting just so quiet in here, I can't tell. Tell me, am I reading you right? Are there some of you in here having trouble with the thought that God's going to praise you? Have you ever given a cup of cold water to someone? Have you ever opened the door for an elderly person? Have you ever gone into your prayer closet and prayed and interceded on someone's behalf? How many of you have done some of those things? You know what? He's a lot happier than we sometimes realize. He's a lot more grateful than we sometimes realize. Turn and look at somebody and say, yeah, I make him happy. Come on now, or I'm not going to move off this, and we're going to be here till 3. and whatever in the oven cooking is going to be dry. And you don't want it dry, amen? But really, we got to realize that he takes joy in us doing and walking in and enjoying those things that he's done for us. I tell you what, I'm going to keep finding out everything he has done for me. Amen? Hallelujah? We moving on, we're getting over this. Yeah, he likes me. Go ahead and say he likes me. Come on now, he does, he loves you. He loves you so much that he was willing to go to that cross. I love the Bible where it says, you know, no man takes my life from me. How many of you remember when The Passion of the Christ came out? Powerful movie, hard to watch. I've watched the scene where Jesus was beaten once because I don't know that I can watch it again. The price that he paid for me. And then after that movie came out, and I love the fact that it was so impactful to this world, and then you had the denials. Then you had the arguing. Well, the Jews crucified Jesus. You remember those? How many of you remember those in the news? It went on pretty good back and forth. People were saying, no, we didn't crucify him. Yes, you crucified. No, you did. No, 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 no. You know what? Nobody took his life from him. He gave it freely. Why? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Amen. And you know what he loves? He loves it when we find out what he did for us. In the Old Testament, just real quick, you got the Exodus. You got the Exodus. You got where God gives Moses instruction for the children of Israel on killing the lamb and putting the blood on the doorposts and on the lentils. And God tells them, do this and be ready to go, because you're going to be set free and you need to be ready to move. And I don't know how many hundreds of thousands. I read one passage, it said 600,000 men, just the men, were going. And then you got all the women, and you got all the children on top of that. And then you got other folks going. But they're supposed to do this ready to move. Why? Because deliverance is just ready to happen. It's just right there. And so they do that. They eat that lamb, and we know who that lamb is. We know what that blood represents. So they put the blood by Jesus' stripes. Or they put the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. They put that blood on the doorposts and on the lintels. And then there's a verse of scripture in Romans, by whose stripes you were healed. Jesus' broken body is our health. Did you know today when you come up and receive covenant communion, there's health in there for you? There's health. Jesus bought and paid for your health. It's yours. Amen. Hallelujah. And not only that, later on, after they do that, they get instruction. Listen to this instruction. I'm in chapter 12, verse 35 now. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, of gold, and clothing. And the Lord, now think about that. Moses instructs, or God instructs Moses to instruct the children of Israel to go to their captors, the Egyptians, and do this. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver and articles of gold. What'd they do? Just think about this for a little bit. Let me look around here. Oh, man, that is a nice watch. I would like that watch, please. Thank you. Amen, babe. I got you a sweet watch. Yeah, it was given to me. Yeah, enjoy. Let's see, what else is there? Now that thing keeps track of how much you walk in him. I don't want that. But that's what they're told to do. The children of Israel are told to go to the Egyptians, say, your gold, please. Your silver, please. Whose idea was this? It was God's idea. And you know what they did? They were obedient. They went to the Egyptians and they asked them, can we have your gold? Can we have your silver? And you know what the Egyptians said? Yes, take it. And they also asked for articles of clothing. Man, this afternoon, let's see. Well, I'm going to come over to some of your houses and see, go through your closets and see if you got some clothes I would like. Is that all right? But that's what they did, you guys. And whose idea was this? It was God's idea. And then if you were to get over into, where'd my Bible go? Right here. And then if you were to get over into Psalms, let me go there real fast. You okay with me if I go a little further? Amen, thank you. Listen to this. It's Psalms 105. He also brought them out with silver and gold. Psalms 105, verse 37. He also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among the tribes. Think about this. See you guys. Be blessed. Sure. I'll be nice. I'll be nice. They got places to go, things to do. I'll be nice. Yeah, just bail on me. Go ahead. Oh, but there was not a feeble one among their tribes. Guys, these Israelites were slaves. They were slaves. They were not treated well. And yet it tells us there was not a feeble one among them. I wonder what happened when they ate that lamb. I wonder what happened when they partook of the Lord Jesus, the lamb that represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Something supernatural happened in their bodies. Do you know God knows we live in a physical world? Do you know that he realizes we live in a world that requires finances? He knew that they needed finances. He knew that they needed health. So guess what he did? He got it for them. And you know what? He liked it. He liked it. Turn and look at someone and say, he liked it. He liked it when they said, can I have your gold? Can I have your silver? And they said, yes, he liked it. God does not mind blessing us. You know why? Because he knows that it takes finances. It takes health. It takes provision to get this gospel to the world. How many of you enjoyed the video of Nicaragua? How many of you read and you saw teachers were getting paid? Do you know what it takes? It takes us receiving what God has blessed us with, what he has done for us, what he has for us. It takes us going ahead and receiving that, and then we're in a position to send it off. Amen? How many of you want to be a part of that? How many are going to keep being a part of that in a greater way? Amen? He likes it. He likes it. Well, I'm out to make him even happier. All right. He also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among his tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them had fallen on them. He spread out a cloud for a covering and a fire that gave light at night. And the people asked, and he brought quail and satisfied them with bread from heaven. He opened the rock and water gushed out. It ran in dry places like a river. For he remembered his holy promise to Abraham, his servant. He brought out his people with joy, his chosen ones with gladness. He gave them the lands of the Gentiles, and they inherited the labor of the nations, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise the Lord. How did they come out of Egypt? With joy, with praise. Did they come out blessed? Did they come out weak and sickly? No. They came out prosperous. There's a song, and it kind of irritates me. There's a lot of Christian songs that can irritate me a little bit. And you've maybe heard this one. And I get what the author is trying to say. I understand what they're trying to say. But it's way wrong. Its line is way wrong. The lyric goes this way. And he robbed the grave. How many of you know Jesus did not rob the grave? He paid. He is not a thief. He didn't steal anything. He paid. You know what? He paid for you. He paid for me. He paid for your provision. He paid for your health. He paid for your abundance. And he likes it, just like Ron likes it when he watches his children reel in a fish. just like I love watching my children, and it'll be grandchildren, do different things. God likes it when we go ahead and partake. Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus is risen. We're going to close with this verse of Scripture over in the book of Ephesians. Y'all doing okay? You've been so good to me. Book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 4. I'll just start reading. How many of you got good imagination? I hope so. Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy. What's he rich in? Mercy. What's mercy? God's unmerited favor. Us getting something we don't deserve. Thank you, God. One translation for rich has it put this way, filthy rich. I like that. He is filthy rich in mercy. And that is not a bad thing. I don't care what you've done. There's nothing you've done that is so great that his mercy and his blood and his love has not taken care of. Don't you let anything keep you from him and his love. Amen. Praise God. Please don't. Please don't. If there is some lie talking to you, telling you that you're just not good enough, that you just don't measure up, friends, that's a lie. Jesus' mercy is greater than all our failures. Jesus' love is greater than all my mistakes. I had a bunch of them, you guys. How good he is. Oh, Father, may your goodness just permeate every part of our being. God, I ask you right now that the Holy Spirit just reveals more to us. Father, I know this, that in this place, maybe all of us, I don't know how many have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I don't know. Maybe everybody. And to a degree, we have all tasted who have received Jesus of your goodness, and we've seen things that you've done for us, and you've opened our eyes, and you've helped us, Father God, to walk in things that we never would have been able to. You've poured into our lives goodness and mercy and love and provision. And we just thank you for that, Father, but that we would keep going forward in that. And then, Father, if there are things that are speaking to people, that are getting them to stop, that those things would be broken right now in Jesus' name. They would be broken right now. They would be broken right now. And your love would just work its way, just penetrate each and every heart and each and every mind. And that the Holy Spirit would just right now reveal to us more. We've seen so much, God, but yet there's more of your love, more of your goodness, more of your mercy, more of your provision, more of your love. Because us walking in that is a part of that joy that was set before you. Thank you, Father. But God, who was rich in mercy because of his great joy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. How great is that? In the ages to come, he wants to show off the greatness and the fullness of this exceeding kindness that he has towards us. Wow. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Friends, he loves it when we walk in them. He loves it when we partake. Amen. How many of you in here have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? You know Jesus. You know Jesus. And if anyone's in here going, well, I hope so. I think so. Folks, it's not a hope so salvation. It's not a think so salvation. It's a know so. The Bible tells us that we know that we have. When we know that we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we know that we have salvation. Man, when you meet Jesus, he is really hard to forget. I know I couldn't. I could never forget him. Pray this prayer with me, everybody, please. God, thank you for Jesus. Jesus, I believe you died on a cross. You shed your blood. You allowed your body to be broken so I could be forgiven, so I could have health and an abundance of life. But Father, it's not just for me to have for myself. It's for me to share. It's for me to pass on to others. So I thank you right now for forgiveness, for healing, for salvation. I believe in my heart that you, God, raised Jesus from the dead. I confess, Jesus, you're my Lord. And as I prepare to receive communion, you show me more. You help me walk in even more. It's in your name I pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Francis, would you get that song ready? And there's no video that goes with it. It's just a song. Don't want it on the screen. Nope, doesn't need. And then when that one gets done, I'm going to attempt to play one through the phone up here. So will you guys make sure that channel is turned up a little bit? Thank you, Kenny. Praise God. Amen. It was a very active morning before church started today. And by the way, Bev is going downstairs. Because you know what she's got downstairs? Cinnamon rolls. On Easter Sunday. So I know some folks are going to go home and do stuff like that. But if you don't have to rush right out, please make it downstairs and eat cinnamon rolls. She said if you don't eat them, she's going to bring them all over to my house and I have to. Yeah, I don't need them. Amen. But hallelujah. Glory to God. Can we turn out the lights? Hit pause there for me, Francis. Thank you. Because I just want to pray and do this last little. You're giving it back? I got you a watch, babe. This is your birthday present. You just gave your birthday present away. Goodness gracious. We could have the track lighting is on, Kenny. No, not those. Yeah, them. Thank you, David. Hallelujah. Folks, the way we're going to do communion is like we always do it. And if you're a visitor this morning and you want to receive communion, you're more than welcome. Please know that. But this song is going to play, and then we're going to play another one. And we have communion set up at the back behind the rows there. And we've got two communion tables up here. As you're ready, you want to come up as a family, a group, whatever, however it is, you're more than welcome, and I never like to hurry. Take your time. Take your time. Father, as we get ready to come forward and take communion, thank you for the blood of Jesus. We remember. We remember. We remember the death that he died on the cross. We remember that shed blood. And Father, we remember that broken body. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.